Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. And before the offering, we're just going to share a couple thoughts from the Bible. How many are hungry this morning? The meal always tastes better when you're hungry, right? It's really good to see you. Don't we love our church? Amen, we do. And just please be keeping Pastor in prayer as he's traveling. Pastor Love, Pastor Schaller, and Pastor Chevelli are all traveling, so just keep them in your prayers. We're hearing great things, so let's just pray with me. We're going to open the Bible just for a few minutes before the main message. So, precious Father, thank you. Just thank you, Lord, for what you have prepared this morning. Give us ears to hear, encourage our spirits, strengthen our spirits, give us insight, and thank you for everyone that's here, really. We're just amazed at how you love us and how much you have delivered us. And we just ask today for that that beautiful anointing today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you want to turn briefly to Psalm 91, and then we're going to pray for the offering here after my intro, just for the ushers, just so you know that. But I've been thinking about Psalm 91 and thinking about how this is such a great chapter on warfare. How many have read Psalm 91? All of us, right? It's really one of those chapters that keeps speaking to us over and over. And I was considering this word refuge. As you look through this chapter, you see the word dwelling place or refuge, and how that Christ is our refuge, our hiding place in times of trouble. Not only in times of trouble that this particular chapter goes into, but really every day, every moment of the day, amen? He is our hiding place, and he keeps us in his care in Psalm 32:7. But what stood out to me just in meditation is that the devil wants to beat the fight out of us. Have you ever noticed that? Just the day-to-day details and maybe trials. The devil's plan is to wear out the saints in 7:25 of Daniel and to beat the fight out of us so that we would maybe stop exercising faith, maybe stop exercising prayer, maybe stop exercising expectation. Because the devil fears the weakest believer on their knees. Amen? It's amazing that you possess the kingdom of God, and the devil knows that, and he wants to beat the fight or to somehow suppress the power of God and the authority of God in your life. And we know he's defeated. We know he's defeated. Amen. He is defeated. And this chapter shows us how to really have a thinking that is based from refuge, from a place of refuge. And in Psalm 18:2, the psalmist says that he is my habitation, he is my refuge, he is my strong tower. And then he goes on to say that the righteous run unto it and are safe. Isn't that good? Regardless of what's going on by sight, we have the authority and the power of God in our life. Amen? There are times when that's evident, and then there are times when it's not so evident. There are times when we see the glory of God and the power of God clearly. And then there are times when we wonder, Lord, are you with me? Right? And in all those times, we take great refuge here in 91:1, that he dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my defense, my fortress. He is my hiding place in 28:11 of Psalms. So today, no matter what kind of week you had today, God has a plan in our trouble. He has a plan in our trouble. You know what that plan is? It isn't to destroy you and I, thank God. But it is to promote us. It's to promote you, to promote your family, and to promote really our walk with him in five interesting ways. I want to kind of give you some things to think about, that God is bringing us deeper spiritually before he brings us, before he promotes us physically. Amen? So think of this with me. Number one, God is breaking new ground, isn't he? He's breaking new ground. God is expanding us, and oftentimes trouble is the environment and the vehicle that he uses so that what we know actually becomes something that we believe, right? How many times have we been in a situation where we can quote a verse or we can have a nice cliche in our heart but not experience the power of it? God is saying, abide in my shadow, abide in me, and I will break new ground and give you new power, new expectations, new anointings, new oil. That's a good verse here in Psalm 92:10. He promises to give us new oil. How many need new oil, right? I'm not talking about your car either. That might be a good idea. If your car's making a lot of noise, that might be a good idea here. That's my little tip here. But no, Psalm 92:10, he gives us fresh oil for the details of life. So instead of the devil beating the fight out of you and I, you know, Jesus said that in Luke 22:31. Peter, the devil, he wants to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. He wants to beat you into a corner so that you stop moving forward, but I have prayed for you. Dwell in me, abide in me, keep your eyes on me. I will give you new ground, new oil, new anointing. I will give you new expectation, and I will give you a new sensitivity. These, what amazing promises we have, amen? This is what we have in the trouble, because when God brings you through the valley and then you are on the mountaintop, praise God for those times, amen? Those are beautiful times. In those times of prosperity, we do not forget God, but we still abide in him. We still live, move, and have our being. Well, just in closing here, verse 9 and verse 15, we see again, he is our hiding place, that we run to him, that he is our strength. You know, David says in 28:8 of Psalms, he says, you are my saving refuge. You're my saving refuge. When things are out of control, you are in control. You are my hiding place. And you surround me with songs of deliverance. What a great perspective. What a great way to think. Refuge thinking. What a great perspective to say, wow, the Lord is doing something new in my life. The Lord is adding something new to my life. The Lord is giving something for our lives that one day will feed another person that goes through difficulty. I love this chapter because we know in the last verses, notice this with me, in 91, it says this. If you're there with me, it says this. He has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Do you see that? Where does deliverance come from? Not by being strong, not by being clever, not by exercising our intellect, but it's knowing the name of God. It's hiding in the name of God. It is resting in the name of God. It is yielding to who he is. And you know what happens? This is where deliverance happens. And again, we might be in the midst of trouble, but we can be delivered on the inside. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. What a great promises, amen? So if you're in a difficult place today, and all of us could raise our hand in one way, we can say this, Lord, if you're with me, it doesn't matter who's against me, amen? We have fresh oil, fresh expectation. And no matter, just like a boxer, no matter how many punches are coming at him, what happens? Grace makes us agile. We're ducking, we're moving, we're doing the Cassius Clay moves, right? How does that go? There it is. Okay. Spiritually speaking, right? It's awesome. Because you know, we're going to be more like him. We're going to be more like him every day as we walk with him. Amen. So let's just pray for the offering and just to encourage our thoughts today on that. How many believe that today? Father, thank you. Thank you that we're abiding in the shadow. We're abiding in the Almighty. Thank you, Lord, that we can, that you know our way. Not only do you know it, you understand it. You see it. And you are with us. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for the families represented. Lord, thank you that you hear the prayer of the weakest believer And it shakes the kingdom of darkness. It shakes it to the core. And just be a hedge around us and be a hedge around our way, Lord. And thank you for really this church and all that it does and the monies that go forward for the will of God. So bless our offering today. Bless the work of your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Wasn't that a great, great song? Don't be so afraid being hidden in the dark, because you never are. God sees all the details. Okay, so good morning. It's great to see everyone this morning. And let's just pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, God, that you see. You are faithful. You are our God. We do pray for our pastor this morning, Pastor Schaller, as he's ministering in Europe. You would be with him. Pastor Shabelli, as he's in Togo, West Africa. Pastor Love, as he's ministering through Europe. Pastor Gary. Pastor Pete, as he's doing Camp Life Eurocon. God, we are a church that is on a mission. Thank you, Father, for those who've gathered this morning. We do pray you would comfort people who are going through difficult times. Lord, the tragedy we heard in Branson, Missouri this week, be with those families, God, those individuals that lost their lives. 9 in one family. God, we just pray you would speak this morning. We have gathered to hear word from you. Thank you for your faithfulness, decade after decade after decade after decade. Be with the Kurowski family today, Lord. Minister to them as we celebrate his life following the service. And Lord, speak as you have spoken. Open our ears. Help us to hear. Help us to quiet our hearts, to be still and know you are God. Father, we love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, at the 9 o'clock service and this morning at 11, Pastor Shala asked us to speak from Psalm 91. And it's a great portion of scripture. And at the 9 o'clock service, was here, and Pastor Cannon and Pastor Speedy spoke. And it was just amazing. And Psalm 91 is such a comforting psalm, because I think all of us at one point in time have been in trouble, difficult times. If you've ever been in a troublous time in this room, raise your hand. Okay. And if you didn't raise your hand, maybe you're going through one right now. Right? It was interesting, both Pastor Speedy and Pastor Cannon, the event that was lodged in their memory of trouble was September 11th. And I think it was a time in our country where we saw trouble come to us, right? And how many remember where you were on that day? How many were here for ABD? And it was interesting that happened. Pastor Ronaldo Brown and I were in Uganda on that day. My daughter, Abby, who's 17, was just a couple months old at the time. And we were soul winning with the Ugandan pastors, about 11 pastors. And we were soul winning and saw this television. And so I thought, okay, that's some movie. I don't know what movie it is. And the gentleman looked at me and he said, no, it's not a movie. I said, what? He said, the World Trade Center towers had just been hit, the first tower. And all of a sudden, I realized, we both realized, we were so far from home. We were in a foreign country that we had served in, yes, with the body of Christ. But it was interesting how small things became at that time. And how fear began to well up inside the heart. And questions and doubts and wonders. And it was an interesting time because it was a time of trouble. That day and the months and follow after. But Psalm 91 is a psalm that if you study, I was reading in the chronological Bible. It's interesting where Psalm 91 is placed according to the chronological Bible. It's after Deuteronomy 33. And so some authors think that, Bible scholars think it was written by Moses. And it's interesting if that perspective, some think it was written by David. Either which way, it's very interesting. So Psalm 91, verse 1, it says this: "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckle. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befail thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." And just briefly this morning, as we think upon this, and this is a great reading, I encourage you, take some time, just read through it, meditate on it, pray over it. Let God speak to you. But it's interesting, if we think about trouble, and I looked at a number of words, so definition of trouble: a state of distress, affliction, danger, or need, a difficulty or problem, to afflict with pain or discomfort, to cause distress or confusion. And then some synonyms for this word, interesting: trouble, annoyance, difficult situation, be in a bind or bond, hindrance, puzzled, predicament, plight, problem, fear, worry, concern, disturbance, calamity, catastrophe, crisis, dispute, affliction, disquieted, irritation, trial, pain, ordeal, discomfort, injury, adversity, problem child, monkey wrench, peck of trouble, imprison, chains, confinement, no hope, no way out. And if we think of this word, all of us can identify a situation, circumstance that we have been in, are in, or we're afraid is coming in the future. Where all of these words enter into our hearts and we say, yeah, I know that word. And it's interesting, we think about Moses, and I was thinking in Exodus chapter 3, it's so interesting that Moses, his name means one drawn out of water, right? Moses was born into a troublous time. Joseph, who God used to bring Israel from 70 to anywhere from 2.5 to 3 million, has died. And the Pharaoh that was for Joseph has passed. And another Pharaoh raises up, and all of a sudden, he sees the people of God as a threat to him, not a blessing. And so he makes this decree that all the male children born to the Jews will be drowned, lest they have a huge army. And when another warring nation comes against them, that those who are put in slavery will join that army and fight against Egypt. And this is what Moses is born into. His parents are of the tribe of Levi, therefore they are priests. And they see that he is a goodly or handsome child. And they try to hide him from the decree. But any mother knows babies cry, right? And over time, she can't hide him anymore. So she makes a decision to put him in a basket made of reeds down the water and let fate take over. And you know what happens? It's so interesting. Pharaoh's daughter finds Moses. Her father put the decree to kill every male Hebrew child, but she finds Moses. God is working. God is with the children of Israel. Little does Pharaoh's daughter know that the child that she draws from the water will be used to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. It's a problem. A decree goes out. A baby is born. He is a male child. It's interesting. I was thinking, my mom had four children, three daughters, and me. And I'm the last born. And everything was okay until I was born. And that's what my sisters would say. I don't know. No, I love them dearly. But my dad's here and my one sister's here, so you can talk to them afterwards. However, those who've had boys know there can be difficult at times. It says in Job chapter 5, verse 7, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And we know that talks about the depravity of man. But it's interesting. Moses is born in a troublous time. And during that troublous time, when he hears the promise of God, he thinks he knows he's the deliverer, but he's not waiting on God's timing. So the trouble is even worse because he intervenes and causes an Egyptian to die, and it's more trouble. So he goes from, you know, being born into trouble to actually being in trouble, and he flees in the backside of the desert. But you know what? I love this. Deuteronomy 33:27 says this. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before thee and say, destroy them. When we are in trouble, we forget oftentimes whose hand the trouble is in. So we are in trouble, but that trouble is in the hand of God. Therefore, nothing can happen that is outside of the plan of God. Did you get that point? Because sometimes we don't think about that. We say, Pastor Eugene, no. I'm in a whole lot of trouble right now. And maybe that trouble, I thought of trouble, it can be trouble that I caused, trouble that found me, or as a believer, trouble because I'm in the will of God. You say, no. If I'm in the will of God, I should not be in trouble. Really? The children of Israel were in the will of God. Were they in trouble? Yes. Moses in Exodus chapter 3 was in the will of God. Was he in trouble? Yes. Jesus is God the Son in the will of God. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Trouble. And we read the different words for trouble. Trouble at home. Trouble in finances. Trouble in health. Trouble at work. Trouble in relationships. It's amazing. Today is my 18th anniversary. And it's funny, my wife this morning, I woke up and she's not going to mind I say this, but she came downstairs and I said, happy anniversary. And she's still waking up. And so, you know, it's funny. We're like, you know, in our late 40s, early 50s, and we're chasing each other around the table. You know, and it was just funny because I was thinking my daughter's asleep and she's like, if she comes out, it's like, Dad and Mom, what in the world are you doing? But you know what? In 18 years, we've had troublous times. Many times it's trouble within. Sometimes it's trouble without. But I remember 18 years ago being right here, being married by Pastor Dr. Stevens. Right here in this church. Grew up in this church. Got saved in this church. Married in this church. Sent out in a mission field from this church. Daughter born in this church. Daughter going to GGCA. And sometimes as Christians we say, you know what? When I become a believer, all my trouble's going to stop. And then we realize, oh no, trouble has just begun. Why? Because in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, you have been translated out of one kingdom and put into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And that kingdom that you were taken out of doesn't like it. Unless you now take other people through sharing the gospel out of that kingdom, you are targeted. Listen to this with me. Psalm 77 verse 2 says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. That's good. When you find yourself in trouble, seek God. Don't seek your best friend. Don't seek a way out. Don't ask your spouse, is this trouble because of you or me? No. Seek the Lord. You know, it's amazing. We have kids. And when our kids grow up, you know one thing we cannot do? We cannot protect them from trouble. The trouble is allowed that they might know God. Because if it's just your God, it's not enough. If they walk with God, they might be hated, they might be despised, they might be too short, too tall, whatever the reason is, trouble comes. Psalm 77 verse 3 says, I remembered God and was troubled. Have you ever been in that place? You remember God and it troubles you. Why? Because you consider like, God, this isn't supposed to be happening to me. God, I'm past that place. God, I've been walking with you too long. Why is trouble coming? Psalm 77, verse 4 says, I held mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. Depth of pain. I was thinking of this family I heard in the news that in Branson, Missouri, and they were on a duck boat, and there was a storm that rose up really quickly on the sea. I think the number is 17 people passed, and 9 from one family. And I thought of Job. In the day that Job's trouble came knocking. But you know what's amazing? Through all the book of Job, God was with him. It never said, and think about this, Satan had to ask God for permission to touch Job's life, which means what? God is still in control. And oftentimes when we are in trouble, we don't look at it that way. We don't look at God with us. Think about this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. That's interesting. Covetousness could be God. Why are they not in trouble? God, I paid my tithes too. Why am I in trouble? God, parents, God, why is my kid not like this person or like that person or went to this school or that school? God, why am I short? Why am I not tall? Why am I not 6'7"? You know, that's covetousness. You know why? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. There is no mistake who we are, our build, our genetics. It's not a mistake with God. It's actually the beauty of God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. So the rest of that verse in Hebrews 13, 5, and this is a good part. God says this, and be content with such things as you have. Even the trouble, Lord? Yes, even the trouble. For he has said, I will never, no, never, no, never leave you. I will never, no, never forsake you. Verse 6, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. We can say this, I will not fear trouble because God is with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. The two words are, he will never loose his hand and he will never abandon me. He will never walk away from me. In my trouble, God is there. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel, as a man of God, prays. And as soon as he prays, the answer is sent. But it takes 21 days for that answer to come. Why? Because the prince of Persia, a demonic foe, hindered the answer to the prayer. That's trouble. You say, I pray, and God's not answering my prayer. How do you know God didn't answer your prayer? Maybe he answered it. Maybe he answered it no. I love what Ruth Graham said. She said, if God answered my prayer, I would have married the same man 7 times. But that was not God's answer to her prayer. God's answer to her prayer was Billy Graham. Oftentimes, we don't know what to pray. Exodus chapter 33, verse 14. I love this. And we were thinking about Moses, and we'll be closing shortly. God said unto Moses, I am that I am has sent thee. Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. This is what the word I am means in the Hebrew. He who is. Now let's think about this. He who is timeless. Oftentimes when we are in our trial, in our problem, our difficulty, what is our question? Lord, how long? How long do I have to go through this? And God says, I am timeless. I am not moved by your trouble. I am not tired in your trouble. I am timeless. Though you are in a difficult situation, look to me. I am the timeless one. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord, he does what? He renews our strength in the problem. We will mount up with wings as eagles. We will run and not be weary. We will walk and we will not faint. Why? God is with us. It also means he who is ever present or omnipresent. We go from seemingly from one trouble, it's over. Thank you, Lord. Here comes another, and another, and another, and another. It's like changing diapers. I just changed a diaper. You got to change a diaper again, and again, and again, and again. But you know what? That baby now grows up, and instead of changing diapers, it's like, you know what? Now I got to clean up after them. I got to buy another pair of shoes. I got to buy some more clothes. And then they hit teenage years, and it's like, okay, everything I bought, they don't like anymore. I got to buy a whole new wardrobe. You need to get a job. And that's what we say as parents, and that was said to us. But you know what's amazing? God is omnipresent. He's there through it all. What else? He's all powerful. omnipotent. You say, if God was all powerful, why is he allowing this trial? All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many would redound to the glory of God. All things, even the trouble, is for our sake. You know why? Because God is working in character. And as I was just sitting, looking in this room, every person, you have character. You have character, and that character has been forged through the difficulties of life. It's God's classroom. It's God's classroom, and he's the teacher. And we're like, Lord, can we pass the subject of trouble and go on to the subject of prosperity? And he says, no. We have X amount of time to go through this subject lesson. Right? It's interesting. He who is all-knowing, he's omniscient. And in closing this morning, I want us to think about this. Psalm 91, verse 13 through the 16. It says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Now, this, I was thinking of this verse, and I thought of Genesis 3:15. The promise given to Adam and Eve before they were cast out the garden. That the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. In our trial, in our test, in our difficulty, in our problems, in our relationships, in our friendships, in our jobs, in our sickness, in our health, our enemy is under our feet. Though we are in the trial, see, our state is not our standing. The state of my trial, the state of my problem, doesn't equate to who I'm in. We are in Christ. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:16, which simply means this, that God is with me in the trial. And like Daniel, though the answer to the prayer is long, in Habakkuk 2:2-4, wait for it. Abide in the situation that God has placed us in. Because why? He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And underneath of the trial are his everlasting arms. So though in the trial, maybe I stumble, I'm weak, I ask questions, I may fail. But you know what? Underneath of the trial is the arms of God. So though I fall, I am still in God's hands. He's still with me. He will perfect that which concerns him. And then verse 14, because he has set his love upon me. That's awesome. Love believes all things, endures all things, hopes all things. Love never fails. Let God love you when trouble comes. Let God love you when questions arise. Let God love you when you say, Lord, I can't go on another day. He's with us. He's strengthening us. And I love this. He set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. This is God speaking here. God will deliver us in our trouble. He will show us a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no trial or test that has fallen to you but that which is common unto man. But God is faithful, who with the trial will provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. What is the way of escape? He's with us. Three Hebrew boys in the furnace. God is with you. Jacob running from Esau. God is with you. Mary and Joseph, Christ, God is with you. And on the cross, I love this, when Jesus Christ bore our sins, though he says, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? You know what I love? He still could call him Father. Which simply meant his relationship with the Father, though our sins were upon us and the Father could not look at sin, he was still a son. He was still a son. In the troublous time of Christ's life as a man, when our sins upon him on the cross, the Father still said, that's my son. And so when you and I are in a trial, in a difficulty, in a circumstance that we don't know, God still says, you are my child. I'm not abandoning you in this trial. I'm with you in the trial. Look to me. Draw your strength from me. Walk with me. Learn of me. We are learning to be content in the trial. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. This is God's plan for the believer. This is discipleship. This is maturity. And you know what? In the end of the trial, when we stand before him in heaven, ultimately, we will say, Lord, thank you. You never abandoned me. I had bad days. I had some good days, but I had a lot of bad days, God. But the amazing thing was, you never left me, and you never forsook me. Amen? Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you this morning. Thank you that Psalm 91 is in the Bible, because it gives all of us hope, confidence. We know we're loved. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ and you've been trying to handle your own problems, your own trouble, your own difficulty, your own trial, and you're tired. In the beginning, you thought you could handle it. Round one, round two, but now this is like round 75, and you're tired. There was one who bore your sins on his own body. There was one who willingly took your sin and nailed it to his cross so that you could be set free from the bondage of sin, from the condemnation of sin, and placed into a new kingdom, and never be alone again in your trouble. Jesus Christ, God the Son, perfect man, perfect God, perfect sacrifice for you. Simply say in your own words, Lord Jesus, today, I want you to be my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for bearing my sin. Thank you for taking my guilt, my shame, and my fear on the cross. And if that's your prayer, and it's the first time that you've ever prayed that, just raise your hand up and put it down. If there's one, if you've done it before, you never have to do it again. But if you said that for the first time this morning, just put your hand up. Put it back down. I'm receiving Christ as my Savior. Father, thank you this morning for you are with us in our difficult times so that we would boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man, what people, what situations, what circumstances will do unto me. Lord, we do pray that as the summer goes forward and we go into the fall, quicken us, God, for the days ahead, that we would be a resource in this world. The things that we have gone through in life and going through and will go through are not just for us, but it's for others. It's for other people to know that God is faithful in their difficult times. Lord, once again, we pray for our pastor. Cover, anoint, bless him as he travels through Europe. Pastor Shabelli, as he's in Africa, Pastor Love, Pastor Gary, Pastor Pete, all those who are traveling and harvest, European harvest, or wherever in the world, Lord, and cover us. Be with us this week in our homes, in our jobs, in our families, in our marriages, in our relationships, and quicken us in our times of trouble. Father, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, please stand. So reminder, right after the service will be the face-to-face for Ray Kurowski. And it would just be awesome to just be there encouraging the family and celebrating the life of this amazing man of God. All right, let's pray for the benediction. And don't forget, tonight, come back at 6:30 for service. Father, we thank you today. We are the body of Christ. We are your unique portion. And God, the most amazing thing about all of this is how faithful you are to us. God, this week, quicken us. Quicken us this week. You have a plan, you have a purpose, and you have a provision for our life. So this week, no matter what we are in, remind us we are in the everlasting arms of God. You are underneath, and you will uphold us. Father, bless each one. Traveling mercies as we go. Protection this week. Cover those who have financial needs. Be with the Kurowski family, God. Surround them with your loving arms. Encourage them. Thank you for the biker ministry. Thank you for all the years that we had the privilege to fellowship with Ray. And we look forward when we're all in heaven, rejoicing around the throne of God, praising you and worshiping you for the great things you have done. Lord, bless our week. Cover us as we go. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.